This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
One of the best NFL draft analysts, one of my all-time favorites. He's personable, he's insightful, he's opinionated. His podcast with Kyle Long. Howie Long's son, former NFL offensive lineman, very popular, Pushing the Pile. You can find that on just about every platform where people listen to audio, including the Odyssey app, where we are. I'm talking about Mike Renner back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Mike, as you know, the Steelers have the 21st pick. What do you think is an ideal draft night scenario for them at pick 21?
I go back and forth because obviously quarterback is the most glaring need on this roster, right? And I think there's a real shot of Shedeur Sanders falling to, if not pick 21, somewhere where they can go up and trade and go get him if they really want him. But I think if you're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, you're going to try to win now. And to me, someone like one of these cornerbacks, like a Jahdae Barron or a Will Johnson falling to you, to me feels like the best win now scenario. Like, it gives you the best chance of next season competing for a championship. So I think I lean towards the latter in that scenario just because I don't have that high a grade on Shedeur, quite frankly. Like, I think he's the day two sort of pick. And I think, you know, him versus the next quarterback off the board, whoever it's going to be, is not going to be that big a difference.
Yeah, Mike, I'm looking at your draft that you posted a couple hours ago, and I got to be honest, man, I'm super bummed just seeing the caption you wrote. Call it a slide if you want, but this is where most people I've talked to see Sanders as a talent. The Steelers' desperation outweighs that of any other team in this area. I hate it, Mike, because it's extremely true, and it rings with the sound of truth to me when I read it out loud.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like the Kenny Pickett take all over again, right?
Oh,
like,
it's not wonderful, where, wonderful.
It's not where you usually get quarterbacks. It's not where quarterbacks usually, like, you don't get the guy. The guy that slides more often than not slides for a reason.
Let me ask you this then. Mike, let me ask you this then. Like, better value pick, obviously, knowing what the player is and where I'm suggesting the Steelers would get them or get the player. Sanders at 21, or if Milroe was there at 83 and they took him as, granted, a project, but took a guy with that running ability at 83.
I'm not a Milroe believer, but I think he at least has a floor with that running ability. So I'd probably say Milroe at 83 is a better value pick because I think, like, his backup plan is he could be your starting running back and maybe be like an elite running back at the NFL level still.
Mike, who are the quarterbacks you believe in this draft other than Cam Ward? Let's rule him out because he's unavailable to the Steelers.
I mean, there's none, right? That's kind of just the nature of this class, unfortunately. It's just not a good year to need one. It ain't last year. Last year's class, I was raving about it. I would tell everyone, it's just like, just take one of these guys. I think, like, this is a uniquely special class. This year, I just do not feel similarly. I don't think it's bereft of talent. Like, I think there could be starters that emerge from this draft. It's just there's no one who has high-end tools. So, like, there's no one who, to me, emerges as, like, a top 10 quarterback outside of Cam Ward. It feels like you could get a guy who maybe becomes a Brock Purdy. You could get a guy who maybe becomes, like, an average to below average, I could see that in the future of some of these guys. But there's just no high-end sort of traits outside of Jalen Milroe who you just noted.
Mike, then the companion question I have to that statement by you is something we've been kicking around here, and it's the subject of a lot of debate because, frankly, none of us know, at least in theory, how much better is next year's quarterback crop in 26 when the draft will be here in Pittsburgh than this class that you just described right now?
I think it should be considerably better. I think there's at least a couple guys who I feel good about being, you know, top 10 to 15 picks. And then usually someone comes out of nowhere, right? Cam Ward was not thought of as a top 10 to 15 pick before this year. So you'll get two guys that I really like at the top and then probably even one or two more after that. So I think it's going to be a much, much better class. Just based off of averages, it should be, you know, the past 5 years, it should be a better class.
What about, though, trying to factor in the uncertainty that NIL has created where you're not positive that X, Y, or Z of these underclassmen at the position, let's say Arch Manning has a great year next year and looks like a presumptive number one pick, but he's making so much money at Texas that, I'll just stay and do what Uncle Peyton did. Like, what's the deal there?
That is, honestly, for my job, I think it makes it easier to scout these guys. They stay longer. You get more tape on them. It's better for the scouting community to know, you know, have more known products for guys to stay longer. But it does for teams, you know, at the top. Like, if NIL wasn't a thing, maybe Drew Aller would have come out already and could have been a potential first rounder out of Penn State. You know, and obviously the tape wasn't elite, but, like, his tools are. So I do think that's always a worry. But to me, Arch Manning didn't go to Texas to start right away, right? He's chased the NFL from every decision he's made. So I think once he gets that shot, if he is the presumptive number one, it would surprise me if he goes back to school.
Mike, Steelers and defensive tackle has been something that's been put together here and gets linked a lot. They brought a bunch of these guys in for visits. They scouted them at the Senior Bowl. So among the guys that are probably going to be there at 21, Derek Harmon from Oregon, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, Kendrick Grant from Michigan. Who do you think would make the most sense for the Steelers in that scenario?
I love Derek Harmon. He feels like a Steelers sort of defensive lineman, almost like a Stephon Tuitt with his length, with his size, just a power player. I think he's the best defensive tackle in this draft class, outside of Mason Graham. Sorry, Mason Graham's not going to be there after that. He's a top 12 guy on my board. I don't see a lot of edge rushers in this class even better than him, even though it's supposed to be a great edge rushing class. I really like Harmon's tape. I just think he is what an NFL defensive tackle, like a Pro Bowl sort of defensive tackle, looks like. So I'd honestly be surprised if he falls to 21 at this point. That's just my eval on him, and maybe he does. And if he does, I think that'd be a home run pick.
Interested, Mike, to get your take then on Walter Nolan, just because we've seen blurbs about him that compare some of his tape favorably to Jalen Carter, which of course has us swooning here in Pittsburgh. What do you see about him that has him behind Harmon for you among defensive linemen?
They're neck and neck. I love those two guys. To me, I think both are going to be great NFL players. I see actually a clear tier between them and Kenneth Grant, the Michigan defensive tackle. I would much, much rather have the first two mentioned there. Nolan's just more of a three tech. Why I mentioned him, maybe not necessarily being Steelers fit. They haven't traditionally, you know, utilize that role, just utilize that body type of like the undersized defensive tackle, because he is like 290. He is like an upfield first step kind of guy. But man, is he explosive. And you see his ability to unlock his hips. I think that's what gets compared to Jalen Carter. That's what makes him so special. But just like that ability to throw everything he has into contact and then just toss off at the lineman aside, you see it repeatedly. He was a five-star, and like this past year really, really turned it on. So he has more physical tools and like high-end potential than Harmon, whereas Harmon's just kind of like what you see is what you get, and what you see is already pretty darn good.
Amarian Hampton from North Carolina came to the Steelers on a visit. Is he so good that you have to consider it at 21, or is the depth at running back so deep where they're better off waiting at that position, Mike?
After Ashton Dempsey, I just think this offensive, or this running back class is so good that I don't think the value is there. Now, like, he's going to be good. I think he's a better prospect than Najee Harris was coming out. He's at least more dynamic and more for the modern NFL game in terms of what he can do out in space as a receiver. And he runs just so hard. He's built for the NFL too. So, but to me, yeah, he's a sure-ish thing at the position. Running back's probably a little bit easier to scout than other positions. But there's a lot of sure things. There's probably like a dozen guys in this class that would have been top five backs in last year's class. I just don't see the need when the guy you're getting in the third round might not be too dissimilar to an Amari Hampton, whereas if you tack DT in the third round versus DT in the first round, it's just going to be a completely different athlete.
Mike, we also are still talking about wide receivers here with pick 21 just because there's uncertainty about whether or not the Steelers even want to keep George Pickens around or whether they might be looking to deal him. I give you these three wide receivers. Tell me who you like most to least in order. Golden from Texas, Ibuka from Ohio State, or Luther Burden from Missouri.
I go back and forth on the order of these guys because, to me, it's what you want. They're just such vastly different skill sets. I think Burden's the most talented. I think he also tried the least on tape last year. Like, if you're trying to replace George Pickens, he's probably not where I'm going. So for the Steelers specifically, like, you know, maybe like another team that can like take a shot and has, you know, on a guy like that, maybe. But like for the Steelers, if you're getting rid of George Pickens, this isn't the guy you want to bring in right away. It's just, he has the same sort of effort concerns and like up and down play to play concerns. Ibuka is like the opposite. Ibuka does not have the physical gifts that Luther Burden does, but he is extremely reliable and extremely intelligent. The guy's going to be where he needs to be. He runs great routes. You know, if you have Aaron Rodgers back there, quarterback, they'll get rapport from day one. So that would be a guy that if you really are looking to move out George Pickens, he could make an immediate impact. And then Golden's just kind of like an all-around route runner. I honestly see him more as like a second-round sort of guy. It's just historically, like last year, I think he would have been a second-round sort of guy. I just don't see anything special about him. And like, he didn't produce that much at Texas either. Like, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season yet, although he is still young. So, that's just kind of how I see those three. Again, like none of them are slam dunk top 20 picks though. That like if they're on the board, that you're for sure going for them. It's just kind of a meh, lot of second round sort of wide receivers this year.
Do you see Travis Hunter as a corner or a wide receiver?
I see him as a wide receiver. You just
interesting.
Look at how much the positions are getting paid, and you just look at how good he is. I mean, the guy. Guy doesn't drop passes. Like, he has some of the best ball skills I've ever seen from a prospect, regardless of position. And obviously that's great on defense too. You know, a lot of those PBUs will turn to picks for him. But it's also great on offense because you're getting like 150 chances to show off those ball skills. So to me, he compares, you know, he's probably not as good as like Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. were last year's prospects, but I would have taken him over Rome Odunze. Just at pure like wide receiver. And if that's the case, like the top 10 wide receivers get all paid more than the top one cornerback in the league. So you play him at wide receiver because you're saving more money that way.
Would you attempt, if you were running a team that drafted him, to get like to have him play legitimately both ways, that there was X number of snaps at each position built into every game plan for him?
I'd be interested. So obviously I think a lot of people are saying corner because that's easier, right? It's easier to know a few routes to run at wide receiver and get on the field, whereas at defense, if you're moonlighting on defense, you got to know the whole playbook still. There's no like, let's create a package on defense for a corner. It's like, that just doesn't make sense. So that's why people are saying that. But I still think that like he can learn a red zone. You know, he can be in your red zone defenses, and I think he'd be a huge value add in that area of the football field. Shoot, he was at Colorado. That's where his ball skills and the instincts really shine the most, in my opinion. So I think that's probably where I would feature him as red zone defense and then starting at wide receiver.
CBS Sports draft analyst Mike Renner on April 14th, 10 days out. He has the Steelers selecting Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado, in the first round. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Good to catch up with you, buddy.
For sure. Thanks much for having me. Have a good one.
See ya.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't.
Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.